This is the fifth Sunday after Pentecost. Our first reading from the Old Testament is Exodus chapter 20, beginning at verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle lesson for today is from Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. This is the word of the Lord, the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Well, once again, I greet you in the strong name of Jesus this morning. Before I begin, I'd like you to do something for me. Now, I realize that I'm flirting with disaster here, but indulge me. Okay, I want you to settle into your seats, and I want you to close your eyes. Close your eyes. Now, I want you to take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. Now, let it out. Now, keep your eyes closed and listen to me as I read a portion of Psalm 37. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Okay, now you can open your eyes. Now I knew I'd have some problems. Everybody can open their eyes. Okay. Do you feel any relaxed at all? I hope you do. I hope you do. Small exercises like that are available to us all the time, and they do us a lot of good. Individual things, short things like that. This morning I've titled my message, Be Still, because I think it's important that we understand the benefits of rest and silence and listening for God. Whenever my family and I have maybe people in town, or maybe we're looking for something to do with our grandkids. Sometimes we take them down to the Capitol building downtown. Did you know that there's a chapel on the plaza level floor of the Capitol building? It's a really nice place to go into. It's quiet. It's really, I encourage you, if you're ever down there, to go see that. Inside, of course, it doesn't feature any particular religion over another, but there is a big Bible that's in there, and you can read that while you're in there. And if you spend any amount of time in that place at all, you'll see symbols around, some of which, at least to me, remind me of God and creation and how He created the earth. Some people would say it's surprising to see a chapel in a government building like that. Now, if you travel, at least by air, did you know that in over half of the largest and busiest airports in the United States, there's a chapel? Again, people might be surprised to know that. But when you think about these two situations, it makes sense. Because in the state building, you know, when you have lawmakers and you have state employees literally running around the building, they need, you know, they're trying to pass laws and they're trying to do the people's business. They need a place away from the pandemonium on occasion. And believe me, if you've ever been down there during a legislature, there's a lot of pandemonium going on down there. And likewise in airports. The people that are going through there, they're carrying heavy clothing bags, but they're carrying heavy burdens too. The burdens that they have in their lives and in their minds aren't left home when they're off on vacation or whatever they're doing. Sometimes people like that need a time out too. They need a place that they can regroup. They need a place where they can take their thoughts and they think about, you know, think things through, away from the hustle and the bustle and the chaos that's going on all around them. Even though we don't think about it too much, we're human beings. And human beings need rest. And human beings need some downtime on occasion. Not to take advantage of rest periods is to do a disservice to our body and to our mind and, yes, to our souls. God knew this when He designed us to need and to have rest periods. I mean, even God took a rest period the seventh day for Himself. If we read Genesis chapter 2, it says, "By the seventh day God had finished the work He had been doing. So on the seventh day He rested from all His work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it He rested from all the work of creating that He had done." You notice that it says on the seventh day He made holy. He made holy a holy day, dedicated and set apart for His purposes. Holy day, or holiday, sometimes we put them together. A day of rest. In Hebrew, that's called Sabbath. Sabbath. God later instructed the nation of Israel and instructs us through His Ten Commandments to take a day of rest. We read that in our first lesson today, the third commandment. It was given to the Jews as an outward obedience to Him so that they would stop from their labors, you know, their everyday labors during the rest of the week, and they would stop and they would take rest and they would not be weakened by constant physical activity. Of course, the Jewish leaders back then, as they, you know, traditionally did, they made it even more burdensome. You know, you could only do certain things in certain ways on certain days and during certain times. But when Jesus came, He freed the people from that strict outward command that it had to be a certain day and that certain things had to be done. And, you know, it could be any day now that we individually take a day of rest and relaxation away from our normal labors and a day that we can talk with God and be with Him. Actually, Christians should view every day as a holiday or a holy day, that we can take time during the day to rest with God. The concept of a full day, of course, is valid today too, and traditionally we, you know, our society has specifically said that Sunday is a generally good day that we can, you know, that most people are not working and that we can come together like we are now for corporate worship for our wonderful God. Employers traditionally recognize Sunday as a day of non-work. And so therefore the churches have said, okay, since most people are not working today, we're going to throw open our doors and we're going to get together to worship our God. But what about those times that we're not together? What about those non-Sunday times? You know, we need sleep, right? And sleep we usually do at night, except that unless you have a night job. But don't we need rest other times too during our days for our well-being? Well, yes, we do. Yes, we do. That's why I started off my remarks today with that little exercise of relaxation. We can freely avail ourselves of down times during our day when we're able to stop and we're able to be silent and we're able to listen to God and communicate with Him through prayer. Remember, as Christians, we have the Holy Spirit that lives in us. And that Holy Spirit wants us to talk with God the Father and Jesus and experience Him through His Word and listen to Him. If we don't slow down, we miss out on His wisdom. We miss out on His message for us and we do ourselves a disservice. I mean, think of it this way. Most of us have one of these, right? Nowadays. You know, they're pretty much everywhere. And they're pretty much in a lot of people's hands, if not most people's hands today. Well, on these things, we get information. On these things, we keep in touch with family and friends. On these things, we, you know, if we want to, we can get up to date with current events. On these things, many of us even do work. Well, what would happen if we never let this thing rest and recharge? Pretty soon, it would be useless, right? It was kind of like the same way with us. If we don't rest by getting sleep, a good night's sleep, and if we don't recharge by being plugged into God, we're kind of useless for His purposes. That's why we need to get as much sleep as we can, and that's why we need to stop every now and then and allow our minds and really our spirits to communicate with God. Someone once said, if the devil can't keep you bad, he'll keep you busy. Because when we're busy, when we're too busy to plug into God, he knows that Satan will have a better way or more leverage to have us do what he wants us to do. I know at this time of the year, during summer, as I said to the children, we think about vacations. Kids are out of school. The travel industry is all geared up for people traveling. But even if we go off on vacations, many times it's not restful. It's not relaxing. There are reservations to worry about. There are planes to catch, or if you're driving, there's the itinerary that you need to map out. There's hotels to check into. I know that many times when I used to take a vacation with my family and I was working with the state, many times we'd go off on a working vacation where I would work all day and they would relax. But even if it wasn't a working vacation, I was always concerned with the travel itinerary, making sure that we did and saw everything we could do in whatever location I was in. My stress level was high, and that rubbed off on my family too. That's not much rest and relaxation, and that's not what God wants for us. In our gospel lesson today, Jesus stands ready to give us relief from our burdens, from our cares, from the work that we traditionally do, you know, because we're sometimes workaholics out here. He wants to relieve us from those cares and burdens that keep us up late at night so that we can't get the rest that we so need. He said in our lesson today, he said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Who among us does not have some burden? Maybe it's bills to pay. Maybe it's health issues. Maybe it's trouble with a loved one in our family. We said last week that Jesus came to free us from worries and cares and the laws and things like that. Now, that doesn't mean he takes away all the unpleasant things in our lives. But it does mean that he shares our burdens and makes them lighter. We have the assurance that he knows what we're going through, and that he knows what we need to have peace in our lives and in our hearts. He wants to give us peace in our hearts if only we'd let him do that. You know, sometimes we think, well, you know, if only I had more money, that would give me peace. Many activities that people devote themselves to today are in an attempt to get more money, to get a fatter, you know, bank account. Our society tells us that rest can come if you have a lot of money. But do you really know anybody that is resting because of their wealth? Even the wealthy that we see on television are not at rest, but it seems like they're in greater turmoil. Why? Because wealth only brings additional burden of trying to maintain it or trying to maintain the lifestyle that it buys. Or maybe we would think to ourselves, if only I had better health, then I could find peace. Well, think about it. When we have pretty good health, we don't think about it that much. And then we go around, scurrying around, pursuing our earthly agendas, and not being still and not allowing God to work in our hearts. It's only when we don't have good health that we're kind of forced to stop and smell the roses, as it were. You remember the old adage, death is nature's way of trying to get you to slow down. Or maybe if we had a nicer family, free from all the drama and the turmoil that sometimes family causes, then we could relax. Well, King David had all of that. He had wealth, he had good health, he had family, but that didn't let him escape the trouble and the turmoil in this fallen world that we live in. I mean, he had plenty of trouble during his life, even as king and even with his family. But the difference is, King David knew God intimately. He poured out his soul before God as expressed in these psalms the many psalms that he wrote, part of which I read to you at the beginning. Now, I'd like to read you part of another psalm that he wrote. Now, it's believed that, well, certainly he knew the secret of de-stressing with God. And it's believed that he wrote this psalm, Psalm 62, when he was king, yes, but he was also on the run. He was on the run from his son, Absalom, and who was trying to capture him and trying to kill him to get his kingship. And even with all of that going on, some would say even with all that going wrong in David's life, David wrote these words. Yes, my soul, find rest in God. My hope comes from Him. Truly He is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge. Yes, God is our help. He is our refuge. He is our rest. If you seek Him in a quiet place, you'll find Him. Now, I don't mean just going off by yourself and continuing to tweet and continuing to go on Facebook. No, alone means alone. Don't be afraid of the silence. Be still and listen for God. He's there. You won't find rest in wealth. You won't find rest in power or fame. You won't find rest in family or friends or how many likes you have on Facebook. You will only find true rest in God. He'll carry you through this temporary life that we're living in until we get that eternal rest with Him in heaven. In our busy and burdensome lives that we have sometimes, what more comforting words could we hear than those of Jesus telling us, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Comforting words indeed. Amen.